Hey, and welcome to the GCC Youth Podcast. GCC Youth is a student ministry of Gracewood Community Church. We meet every Wednesday evening from 6:45 to 8. Find us on Facebook or Instagram at GCC Youth Lebanon and follow us for the latest on what's happening. We hope you're encouraged by this message and inspired to grow in your faith. Thanks for listening. Now to the message.
Hello, hello. How are you guys doing? You guys all right? All the smiling faces. Well, guys, this is week four and the final week of our Storyteller series. I hope you guys have learned something from it. Maybe you've enjoyed it. maybe the Lord has spoke to you through helping you understand more of what Jesus' parables were really about, the stories that were helping us and teaching us a spiritual lesson. And so I'm excited to close out tonight with part four, and we've got some really neat things planned with what's coming up in the future, so I'm excited about those as well. Has anybody in here seen American Ninja Warrior? It's a pretty popular show, right? Most of us have seen that. We used to watch that show a lot. I think it's still like maybe recorded on the DVR. It's like 28 episodes that we haven't watched, so we got to like catch up. We don't have the kind of time anymore. But if you haven't seen it or don't know what it is, it's an obstacle course challenge where athletes compete to get through a variety of jumps, swings, ropes, bars, and different sorts of challenges to hit a buzzer at the end. And the top athletes, fly through the course pretty fast. They're awesome. But most of them are actually just normal people, not like Olympic athletes necessarily. Most of them are normal people who have jobs, just day-to-day, people. So when I watch these people, or maybe when you watch, maybe you're sometimes tempted to think, if, a weatherman can do it, well, I could do it. If a farmer, I could do it, right? If a clerk from a county clerk or something could do it, I could do it. You know, there's different people who participate, but, I mean, they make it look easy, right? And when other competitors fail, sometimes I'm like, how could they possibly not complete that? It's like, I saw these other people do it, and I know that like they look more capable. I'm pretty sure I could have done it better. I've even thought sometimes. Then I go outside, walk down the steps of my porch, and can't breathe when I get to the bottom. So maybe it's not that bad, but it's kind of those moments that you realize American Ninja Warrior is way harder than it looks, right? And I have a new appreciation for just how crazy those people are, and how strong they are, and how awesome. You know what else is way harder than it looks and sounds is forgiveness, okay? And that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, forgiveness. Now, this is a hard subject for some people, so let's unpack it easily here. It sounds easy to say, I forgive you, right? It's easy to say, I forgive you. We all understand the idea of forgiveness. Most of us could have a conversation with someone else in the room here tonight and probably have plenty to say about forgiveness. Many of you could probably predict exactly what we would say about it, in church, right? We know that when someone hurts us, we should forgive them. We know that. Well, we shouldn't hold a grudge. That's not a new concept, really, and it's certainly something that you've never heard before. But actually, forgiving someone in real life, it's basically like trying to be a ninja warrior in difficulty, okay? Because forgiveness is easy until you have to do it. Forgiveness is easy until you have to do it, the action of forgiveness. And Jesus knew that that even if we understood the idea of forgiveness, we would still struggle with it. We would still struggle to do it, the act of forgiveness itself. The good news is he hasn't asked us to do anything he wasn't willing to do himself and shown us that he has already done, okay? He knew that what it was like to be hurt by people. He knew that forgiveness is easy to understand and difficult to carry out. But he had to choose forgiveness just like we do. Jesus had to choose forgiveness just like we have to make that choice for forgiveness. And that's what I want you to understand tonight as we go into this, is that forgiveness, as hard as it is also a choice for us, which brings us to another story by the great storyteller. So, but first, like a little context before we start the story. So Peter, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples, who was particularly close to Jesus, actually, he asked Jesus a question about forgiveness, and he said, Lord, how many times do I need to forgive a brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Okay? Now, being as close to Jesus as he was, Peter knew that forgiveness was difficult, which is why he was asking just how much was required of him. Anybody ever done that? Like, you just asked, how much do I really have to do to get by with this, you know? It's like when a PE teacher tells you that you have to run, and you're like, well, how far? Because I don't want to run any more than I have to. You know, running's difficult and painful, and it's exercise. So forgiveness is kind of like that as well. And so Peter wanted to know how far he had to run. So Peter asked, can I stop after seven times? And when you understand the context of forgiveness within the Jewish law under which Peter lived in Jesus' time, seven times would have actually been going way above and beyond, okay, if you're going to count. So Peter probably felt that this question gave him some brownie points with Jesus, right, and made him appear spiritual and holy. So you can imagine Peter's surprise by Jesus' response. And Jesus said, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And some versions say seven times 70, a lot of times, right, is what he's saying here. What? 77 times. One, two, three. So he didn't actually mean that we need to forgive someone 77 times. Jesus had something bigger in mind. He wanted to teach something through this parable, which is why he told a story. He said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed them 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children, all that he had, be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I'll pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Just so we're clear here, 10,000 bags of gold is like millions of dollars today. That's a lot. Wait a minute. 10,000 bags of gold would be like millions of dollars today. Yeah, that's right. So this wasn't pocket change. It was a lot of money then, a lot of money now, right? The people listening to this story knew that, and they were probably shocked. So think about it. What if you owed someone $2 million? Okay, what if you owed somebody $2 million, but you didn't have the money to pay them back, the $2 million? And so they wanted to have you arrested. You're so stressed out about what's about to happen. You're begging them not to put you in jail. And then you get told that your debt just disappeared. It was gone. You don't owe it anymore. You no longer owe anything. Imagine how great that would feel, from $2 million in debt to, hey, wipe clean. For someone to get a break on money that they owed like this, we'd expect them to be incredibly impacted, right? And this is a life-changing event for something like this to happen. But it's not the end of the story. So Jesus continued with the story. He said, but when that servant, the one whose debt had been forgiven, when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Now, immediately we know what this guy is supposed to do, right? We know what he should do. Easy answer, right? Given this gigantic debt that was just taken care of and taken off his shoulders, of course, he would forgive this tiny amount of coins. So what do you think he does? He actually grabbed the guy and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, just like he had before, be patient with me and I'll pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. What? Obviously, we kind of thought this story would go a little bit different. He had just been given grace. His debt had been wiped clean. He had uttered the same words that his servant uttered to his master to forgive the debt. But just because we understand what should happen with forgiveness doesn't mean that it's easy for us, is it? It's much easier said than done. And we've all experienced it to some degree in our own lives. We've all experienced it ourselves. But Jesus didn't let us off the hook just because it's difficult. Check out his point as he closes the story here. He says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? That's an important verse. That's Matthew 18:31-33. In his anger, the master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. So the owner's like, come on, man, what are you doing? I forgave you way more than you had to forgive, way more than you had to forgive. And you totally missed an opportunity to show forgiveness. immediately after huge forgiveness was shown to you. What was he thinking? So then Jesus kind of puts an exclamation mark on the story with this last part. He said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Okay. Wow. So what does Jesus mean by this? This is how my heavenly Father will treat you, each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Well, remember, this was a parable. We're talking about Jesus, the storyteller. He's telling a parable. So it doesn't mean that you're literally going to be put in jail and tortured necessarily if you don't forgive. But think about it. The last time that you held a grudge, who hurt the most? The last time you held a grudge to somebody, who hurt the most? Was it you or was it the person that you refused to forgive? You, of course, right? It was you because refusing to forgive, it's its own kind of punishment and its own kind of torture. The person who hurt you, they're going on about their life. They may realize they hurt you at some point, but they are going on about their life while you're thinking about all that they did. When you hold on to that offense and you hold on to that grudge, you're hurting and you're imprisoning yourself. So back to Peter's question that he asked, Jesus, how many times should I forgive? Is forgiving seven times enough? Nope. And, oh, if you're keeping track, it means you still haven't let go, right? If you're keeping track. So you have forgiven enough when you're no longer being tortured by the offense that was done to you. That's when you've forgiven enough. You've forgiven enough when you're truly free from that. But that's not all. The point of the story is also to shift the attention away from what was done to us. This is important. Point of this story is to shift the attention away from what was done to us and toward all the things that we have done ourselves. Things that God has already generously forgiven. Big forgiveness. That's so important. It's a lot easier to hold on to a grudge when we see ourselves as the good one. You know, there's air quotes. But when our eyes are open to all the ways that we aren't perfect, giving other people a break becomes a little bit easier. Becomes a lot easier, actually. So let's be clear. Jesus has forgiven all of us a lot, okay? If he can offer us forgiveness for every single sin that we've committed against him, every single sin, then we can pass that forgiveness on to others. He paid the ultimate price for that, and he forgave us. Simply put, Jesus wants you to forgive like you've been forgiven. Forgive like you've been forgiven. As long as we think that we're better than anyone else, than someone else, and what they've done to us, then forgiveness will be a very tough thing for us to demonstrate in our life. But as Jesus' story pointed out, it's all connected. Our ability to forgive other people is directly tied to the willingness, our willingness, to receive forgiveness. You get that? Our ability to forgive other people is directly tied to our ability to receive forgiveness, our willingness to receive forgiveness. And we can't expect forgiveness from others if we aren't willing to give it as well. You know, for many of us, okay, we're in church, right? For many of us in church, we have to remind ourselves that we're not as perfect as sometimes we think we are. Because the comparison game is a real thing, right? We like to compare ourselves. It's just human nature. It's what we do. And that can be a battle against us being able to forgive someone, is the comparison game. That can ruin something great that's happening. Our pride is an ugly obstacle to loving and forgiving other people. Judgmental attitudes, it cuts other people to the core. Secret sins are bigger and could hurt more people than we care to admit. Our words toward our parents would probably surprise a lot of people. Our envy, our jealousy, it might not show itself on the outside, but we know it's brewing and eating us up on the inside sometimes, right? We all have a pile of sin that Jesus willingly forgives over and over and over again. I don't tell you that to bring you down, but really the idea here is to empower you to pass that along, be able to pass forgiveness along. Jesus led the way when he demonstrated that power of forgiveness. We get to follow his lead. One thing you'll notice about the word, you know, and I say the word, I'm talking about the Bible and the things that there are things that are in the Bible that are meant to empower us. And those words are typically used as nouns that have no action behind them. Like grace, you know, we give grace to someone. Grace is actually power, okay? Forgiveness is actually power. When we forgive others, it empowers us. So Jesus demonstrated this power of forgiveness, and we get to follow his lead. Some of you, you might have noticed that you have two cards in your seat, and one says, what I did to someone, And the other says what someone did to me. Now, I'm not going to have you fill those out or anything. I didn't put any pens there, you'll notice. So just look at the cards. Want you to take a look at them and imagine if you filled out the first card, what I did to someone, okay, with one or two things that you've done recently wrong to someone else, okay? We've all wronged people, right, to some degree. It may take a minute for you to think of that, though. But even if you hurt someone unintentionally, it counts as an offense if you committed against them, okay? So think about that. What I did to someone. Now, look at the second card. What someone did to me. Imagine filling out that card. Now, this will probably come to you a lot quicker and easier, right? I got like 10 things. What someone did to me. What's something that someone has done to you that you're still holding on to, maybe? It doesn't matter if it happened yesterday. It doesn't matter if it happened 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. If you don't feel the freedom from it, then imagine yourself writing that down on that piece of paper. So you have those two ideas in mind. Okay, now in light of that, think about your two cards. What you need to receive forgiveness for and what you need to give forgiveness for are connected. What you need to receive forgiveness for and what you need to give forgiveness for are connected. Freedom is found when you can give forgiveness because you have received it. Freedom. Freedom from that torture. Freedom from that self-punishment of holding on to whatever it was that someone did to you. Forgiveness is where that freedom is found because you have already received forgiveness. That's the motivator to forgive, not the other person trying to make it right. Jesus forgave us and we didn't make it right. He says, the Bible says, Christ died for us while we were still sinners, not Christ died for us after we made things better. What? We can't do that, you know? Forgiveness is, this is what you need to know. You've already been forgiven by God a lot, and now it's your turn to pass it along. So forgiveness is easy until you have to do it, though, right? A lot of times it's not a one-time thing, which that's even harder. You mean I got to forgive more than once? Maybe the same person, 2,800 times. I don't know. Maybe every day of your life, you have to seek forgiveness for that person. Show forgiveness. Sometimes we have to do it over and over again. Sometimes we have to give someone for the repeated offenses again and again. And the point is this. The story about bags of gold isn't just about us. Not just about us. All of Jesus' stories, as he tells them, tells us something great about him, the storyteller. About Jesus himself. He forgave us so we could be free from the power of sin. But when we don't forgive others, we're not free anymore. We're tying our hands. We're putting ourselves into jail. We're missing out on the free life that he wants for us. And that's why he tells us this story to remind us that because of what he has done, because of what Jesus has done, we have more power than we can imagine to forgive others. Again and again and again. Now, on your way out, I want you to throw those cards away. Pretend like you wrote it down. Throw it away. You have forgiven, okay? And this is just a gesture. Now, obviously, you may need to work some things out in your heart, and sometimes forgiveness is not just as easy as writing it down on a piece of paper and throwing it away. I wish it were. We'd make a little campfire here and throw everything in the campfire. But it's not always that easy. For some of you, forgiveness, you have to work through it. It's a process, and that's okay. Guess what? Christianity is a process. Being a Christian is a process. Living a Christian life is a process of daily transformation. You don't just transform into a Christian because you raised your hand in church. You know, you're not just automatically perfect. You know, that's the misunderstanding a lot of people have about Christians. Well, they're hypocrites. Yeah, pretty much. We're all hypocrites until we can be transformed and allow the Lord to transform us and perfect us, not to make us perfect right now. Just continue to work on us and transform us. So it's a process. Okay? So whatever it was, work to forgive them. Ask the Lord to give you the strength to forgive them. Ask the Lord to give you a heart for them, to forgive them, whatever it is. Because by holding on to it, you're enslaving yourself. So just let it go. It's not worth it. Let's pray. As your heads are bowed, I do want you to know something, that Jesus forgave you. You know, I said it earlier in the message. He forgave you. And whether or not you can comprehend it, he forgave you of all that you've done and all that you will ever do to sin against him. He is a perfect God. We were imperfect. We were born that way. There was nothing we could do to fix that. But God sent his son to fix it for us. So he did this when he died on the cross. Crucifixion was a brutal, awful way to die. But Jesus endured this because he loved you. He endured this because he decided in advance to forgive you so that you could be free. And he wasn't guilty of any sin. It's why he's the only one that could forgive us anyway. So I want to ask you tonight, with all your heads bowed, if you haven't made that exchange in your heart, okay, your old life for a new life that he has for you, realizing that, you know, your sins separate you from him, and now accepting what it is that he has done to forgive you. So if that's you, and you want to say, you know, I want to make a public profession of faith, I want to raise my hand, just raise your hand right now, everyone's head's bowed, and we'll see your hand. What you're saying is, I realize that, and I accept what Jesus has done for me to forgive me. And so now I can forgive others. And now I want his Holy Spirit to live in me, to have a life growing with him. And Lord, I also pray that we can forgive others who do wrong to us, because if we hold on to it, we're still slaves to it. But you've freed us from that too. So work in our hearts this issue of forgiveness. It's not easy, but God, you have said that with you, all things are possible. So in this case, with you, forgiveness is part of that. Forgiveness is possible. We can forgive other people as you have forgiven us, because you have forgiven us. So we can be free as well. I pray for freedom for each person in this room when it comes to the issue of forgiveness. And I pray that we can reconcile to one another. It's your name we pray. Amen.